Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 124 for Saturday, October 10th, 2009. PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com, and I am back on a real computer. Yay! I am so happy. I am so happy. David is stunned. David didn't even know that there was such a thing as a 13-inch MacBook Pro until a few minutes ago.
No, I did. Forgot is the proper phrase here. All right,
good. I'm just giving you a hard time. Okay, well, let's get. It's coming back from the computer from Washington, D.C. I am Douglas Bell.
And from frigid Washington State, I'm an Eskimo. No.
Is it already that cold there, David?
It's cold. It's been below freezing this entire week.
What? Already?
Yeah, already.
I'm not looking forward to it. Well, our temperatures are starting to get down there. We're going to have lows in the mid-40s this week, which is like winter weather for San Francisco, but here is apparently fall weather. So there's signs up all over our dorm now saying that people are going to come into our room this week to make this big switch over from air conditioning to heat. Which apparently they have to do by opening each individual unit up. They do it twice a year. So in spring, they move it back to air conditioning.
Yeah, in fact, tonight it's supposed to get down to 16 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Very cold.
We had a nice day yesterday. It got unexpectedly up to 83. But that should be the last nice day of the year.
83, wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice. I'm coming to you here from the Washington D.C., the Nobelist city in America right now. I got to see a couple of Nobel laureates this week. Apparently yesterday we found out Obama, surprise, who was here in D.C.
And he's on the show now. No, wait.
No. If only. This morning, I just got finished watching. We had the Dalai Lama come visit American University this morning, and gave a teaching. And unfortunately, I was not able to be there in person because the tickets sold out the very first day that they were offered, and I was elsewhere the first day they were offered a month and a half ago. But they broadcast it on our campus TV station, so we got to watch the Dalai Lama. Give a lesson, and I don't know what the hell he said.
I mean, he probably said something like, "If you talk a lot about what you're going to do and like about peace, then you'll get awarded the Nobel Prize."
I don't know about. Well, we won't get into tonight. I'm partially in agreement with you, David. But I don't know. I won't get into discussion on this. We don't want to keep this a political show because then you and I would be arguing forever.
Political Weekly.
No. No, Dalai Lama, I mean, he spoke English, and they had some stuff there, but just he's very quiet. He's a very quiet speaker, but he makes some good jokes. Like wearing a red sports visor along with his robes. And saying, "Do you think this goes with this?" But I don't care because it's practical to wear the visor. So. Well, that's been fun. And I look forward to next year, this date, because next year it'll be today's 10-10-09. Next year it'll be 10-10-10. It'll be perfect attendance. And that's enough of the bad puns. So let's get on to the show today.
Everybody who's listened to this show knows you are the king of puns. Now, whether they're good or bad or just interesting, that's up for debate. But
they're never interesting. They're not supposed to be anything. They're just pointless. All right. We have quite a bit actually we can talk about today, but we can catch up on a few things from last time we were live, which was a few weeks ago. Back when I had the digitally sounding voice with weird things stuck in my ears.
Yes, the episode that started out well and turned into the worst technical difficulty podcast we've ever given.
And then upon re-recording, it turned into the weirdest unexpected surprise that was so perfectly timed that we've ever had. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, that worked out so well. Talking about Portal
suddenly.
Oh, that! If you have not listened, well, of course, even those of you who were there for the live episode last week or 2 weeks ago, you have to go listen to the recorded version because there is something special that happens on there.
It's making it into the clip show at the end of the year. That is so making it in.
Yes,
I went back afterwards and told them, "Hey, you know, you guys got recorded," and they're like, "Oh, really? Why? That's great." If I was on, I would have been recorded singing Happy Birthday. I would have been like, no, please, no.
Well, it did save me from having to do that, so.
Yes, which you did on the live, technically horrible.
Technically horrible, and that made it technically worse.
There you go. Although, who knows what could be technically worse than Happy Birthday songs. We did we've mentioned this, so I won't take more than a minute or two on this.
I'm starting a stopwatch.
I did that to you last time. I posted a thing about a week ago saying that we are looking for someone who would like to help out by being this is a weird name, I know, a PHP BB Weekly clerk. And so far, no one has expressed any interest in it whatsoever, but we would still like it. What is this supposed to be? Just very quickly to overview, David and I, now that we are on Ustream, it's definitely better for people who are trying to listen in live, but managing it is a little bit harder for us than TalkShoe was. Plus the fact that we also now are doing fancier things like enhanced podcasts with chapter markers and all the great stuff, which is also nice, but takes longer to edit, requires me to like listen to the whole episode over again, which I don't always have time to do, which delays the show. So we're looking for someone who can help us out on the show, just doing some basic things during the time that we're live.
Very simple things.
Very simple. Three main things. One, you get to be a moderator of the chat room. Wow. Amazing.
Like, there's so much to do there.
Yes, there totally is. That doesn't do anything. I mean, and
participate in discussions, but I've never had to delete anybody's post, which is good. I'm sure the time will come.
Mm-hmm. Number two, you get to help us log the chat room. Now, what's the deal here? Ustream, unlike TalkShoe, does not keep the chat room going forever. So, by popular demand last summer, we started offering the chat logs from our chat room as downloads along with the podcast. But to keep that going with Ustream is harder to do. It requires us to copy in between while we're doing the show. And we're kind of trying to focus on doing the show.
Is that because it truncates or...
It just loses the earlier ones. Yeah, truncates.
Right, yeah, truncates.
So if that would be the second job, just copy it for us while we're doing. That helps. And... And Michael just asked you to moderate himself, and David just demonstrated it. That'll be great. But now it says removed by Highway of Life, so that will now appear in the chat log, David. So you
see, now everybody wants to be a moderator.
Uh-huh. Now David knows more about using Ustream than I do. And finally, the third thing, this is probably the most involved thing. Is to help us keep a time-stamped record of when we change topics. Now, what's the deal with this? It means you have a stopwatch or an egg timer or something so that when we start the show, and then we do our, hi, welcome to PHPBB Weekly bit, you start a timer, and then whenever we change a topic to something else, you just write down the time and write down when we change it or just type this down. This is probably the weirdest idea, but the reason for it is this will help when I go to edit and add the chapter markers.
Yeah, chapter markers are great for, especially for listening back. If you haven't experienced how a podcast is with chapter markers, you'll see when we actually do apply the chapter. You know, when the chapters are applied to it. Yeah,
we've done that for.
And you go back, and then you can go to specific chapters if you want to listen to something specific. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to spend the entire time listening to us,
also babble means on links and on. Links are embedded in there, so. It's great. The hard part is I have to be able to go through the thing and find it. And so with something written down, it makes it a lot easier. I don't have to go listen to the whole show to find out where the chapter markers are.
And it's this too. You know, if you're already listening to PHBBB Weekly and giving us your sort of full attention
live on the show, live when we're live.
Live, yes, yeah. Live. Then you know you can do it if you wanted to. Yeah. So
that's all it is. Just want one person to do it. So if you're interested, send me a private message on Star Trek Guy. The link is on our website. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But we'd love some help, so please help us. It also means that the show will come out faster, which is everyone wants that, right? Right. Okay. So since we were last live 2 weeks ago, the voting for the best CAPTCHA plugin competition has begun. It's actually kind of old news, which I tweeted about. But it continues until the end of the day. Monday UTC time, which you know, since we like to use Eastern time for everything, that's like 8 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. So you can go vote on there. I'm surprised. When we did our show, David, when I asked people to submit a bunch of CAPTCHA plugins, and we only ended up talking about five, I thought that there were going to be more than that. It turns out, no, there only were five CAPTCHA plugins, one of which was Igor's, which means that it was not considered for voting because Igor organized the contest and therefore didn't want to win the CAPTCHA. Yeah. So four CAPTCHAs,
which is good because I don't know if it's one of the most complex CAPTCHAs.
Yeah.
That could be created. I think it was more of a joke on Igor's part than anything.
That's what he told us. It was actually a little somewhat of a joke. Inspired by the show a long time ago where we went through world's worst CAPTCHA plugins, or world CAPTCHAs, worst CAPTCHAs. It's just ridiculously complex math, but he said he did it partly for that and partly sort of as a way to, you know, test, because he was able to help uncover a number of bugs in the CAPTCHA plugin API that have since been fixed, so.
Yeah.
So that good was practice. Good, and if anyone wants to solve the sine of x times x over 2x equals 42, then there's a CAPTCHA for you. I could
not
do that.
Not recommended for a board which grandma can post on. Recommended definitely for boards where mathematicians are the community.
Yeah.
Highly recommended for that board.
Or boards where bots can probably figure it out anyway. The four CAPTCHAs we talked about: Fancy jQuery CAPTCHA by M to the Eichel, Rotate Image CAPTCHA plugin by Brainy, Simple Math CAPTCHA plugin by Nick Vergeson, and Sortables CAPTCHA plugin by Durkee. Those are all up. I voted. I'm not going to say who I voted for to keep this a non-partisan podcast, so to speak. But
I voted, and I'm going to tell everybody who I voted for. No, I'm kidding.
No. And if you don't vote the way David did, he is going to send Birdiezilla to kidnap you. I know about laughing. David was actually going to do
we'll
that.
We'll find out. No.
Well,
yes.
And but apparently, this is what I wonder, because the teams are also doing their own internal voting. What would happen if the same CAPTCHA won both?
That would be interesting, definitely. I tell you what, though, here's a funny thing. So few people actually submitted a CAPTCHA plugin that the authors have a 1 in 2 chance of winning a birdie.
Maybe.
They do, because there's four, right?
There's four CAPTCHAs.
Yeah, and two will win.
Uh-huh, unless someone wins both.
Yeah, which should be...
And do we know yet which won the birdie for, like, first validated? Because from what I'm seeing, all four of them were validated at the same time. At least they both appeared on this. All four of them appeared on the site within, like, 10 minutes of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they're differentiating between when they were submitted to the mod database, which we would not know. So I wonder how that will come out. Maybe they were expecting more CAPTCHA plugins.
Probably. I was expecting more also. You know, very few actually submitted it, which is – it's kind of a bummer. You know, it's like okay, these four guys may not have submitted CAPTCHA plugins unless there was a contest on. So the fact that they did get four participants, or five including Evil Heart, that's okay. But I would obviously have liked to see quite a few more people actually get involved in developing for PHBB3 by developing a PHBB CAPTCHA plugin. Now, that said, it's like people could ask me, well, why didn't you develop one? I'm not really interested in developing a CAPTCHA plugin, to be honest.
There you go. Well, on the other hand, I lost my train of thought.
That's a good thing to have, on the other hand.
I don't know what I was going to say.
So, yeah, they said a free birdie will be awarded to the three best CAPTCHA plugins. That means, basically, if they follow through with that, only one person will not get a birdie unless somebody gets more than one birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Community choice, team choice, and first approved. So everything was approved at the same time. So I don't think that they will...
Maybe if there's only one that gets left out, they'll come up with some kind of honorable mention prize.
Yeah, it's obviously they approved all four of them at the same time. So they're sort of going back on that by approving all four of them simultaneously, unless they decide to award everybody the birdie.
Why not? We're all friends here. But it's actually interesting that I believe it was about an hour and a half ago, there was a post made to the discussion of the best CAPTCHA plugin competition from a brand new user who apparently just registered, but writes kind of an interesting letter from a website, blindaccessjournal.com, raising concerns about accessibility with the CAPTCHAs. And they were specifically saying, asking about the competition and saying why accessibility for CAPTCHAs is not a guideline at all, and pointing out that PHPBB right now only does a visual only CAPTCHA with no audio playback, text, any kind of means for blind or visually impaired people, and raising some concerns about that. Now, obviously, it's a little too late for PHPBB to change the competition guidelines, considering that it's been 2.5 months since the competition was first announced. But what are your thoughts on this, David? And I'll post a link in the chat room because this was just posted.
Yeah, that's tough. The thing is, the use as a blind person having to register on a board, you would need to send the administrator an email. Mm-hmm. That would be the way to solve it right now. The problem, obviously, with doing something in this way where it's like you have an audio playback. Google has that. Google's CAPTCHA has that. If you've never experienced Google's CAPTCHA before, go to one of the Google registration pages where it has a CAPTCHA and play the audio playback. Mm-hmm. And then tell me if you can even hear a single letter in that audio. I have tried it before, and I don't know. Maybe blind people can hear better than I can, but I certainly couldn't distinguish what on earth it was. And at one point in time, there was a CAPTCHA which I could barely read. It was like, okay, there was a couple letters you couldn't really make out. So I pressed the audio button. I'm like, okay, well, that just made things worse because it just iterated a bunch of nonsense which didn't even match anything close to the CAPTCHA I was looking at.
Well, David, what they usually do with the audio is they actually give you a different CAPTCHA code completely on the audio, which means if you enter the one for the audio version will also work, which is different from what would be actually visible.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Like, for example, ReCAPTCHA. We like ReCAPTCHA, but it has an audio thing which is not very good, and it just gives you a bunch of numbers that are impossible to hear.
Okay, so ReCAPTCHA, and to be honest, I haven't looked into ReCAPTCHA much, but if it does have the audio thing, then that obviously does address the access issue for the blind. Colorblind is not nearly as much of an issue because you can still distinguish, as far as I know, you can still distinguish black from white.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most of them are like that, and certainly many of the CAPTCHA plugins don't have that kind of issue. It's not based upon color.
I'm gonna see
and that was, that was taken into consideration, of course,
something here.
When the CAPTCHAs were being developed for PHBB3, and this goes all the way back to before 3.0.0 Gold, there was some pretty extensive discussion topics on Area 51 about the CAPTCHA, and somebody is knocking on the door, which I must go answer. Can you pick it up from here?
Sure. What we were talking about. Okay. Well, let's just wait and see if we get another happy birthday for Dave. Just kidding. But I agree. I'm actually working in the middle to try to get the example from ReCAPTCHA because it's pretty poor of an example of what it actually sounds like to do the audio version of ReCAPTCHA as opposed to the text. I mean, because they do a pretty good job. I mean, some of their effects on the text is weird. The words are kind of strange, but you can generally read them. But if you can't, if you're blind and you'd have to use the audio version of it, it also is pretty bad. And it really seems to me like this comes down to just a defect in general. We spent so much time talking about CAPTCHAs and how really just they are bad. They're necessary, unfortunately, but they stink. They're disgusting. It's very, very difficult to make anything work with them. And this is just an example of another group of people that it isolates. And the audio is just, it's not much of an improvement. It's something, whereas, you know, we have text is nothing, but. Actually, David, I'm working right now to see if I can get the. I think I might be able to play. I think I have it up. I'm going to play what the sounds like for ReCAPTCHA. I don't think you'll be able to hear this, David, but the chat room should be able to. The people live should be able to hear it.
Okay.
Okay. So that was weird. We didn't get that. Couldn't get that to record, but folks in the chat room heard that. It's like "Well, the octopus kind of." Don't kid yourself. And they're supposed to get two words out of it. Enter the two words spoken. "Well, the octopus," but don't kid yourself.
I don't know, man. You know that. Okay, maybe they can understand that because maybe they have some sort of rule that they go by.
Please type the words with spaces between them. Don't worry if you have trouble with
I'm recording
one word,
this now.
Just enter your best guess.
Now, after having conferred with his attorney...
Once again, the
well,
words
that's different.
Are...
Now, after having conferred with his attorney...
I like that. Having conferred with his attorney... That's my best impression. Two words. Having conferred with my attorney... You think that's good? Wait till you hear though. I just recorded that one. Trying to do multiple hijacks here has been weird, but that's what you have to do when you're a blind person on ReCAPTCHA. All right.
And maybe you have some sort of rule to follow if you're a blind person and you're having to enter in a CAPTCHA, what? So you understand those sort of that sort of talk and language.
What are you, David?
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what else to say,
baloney.
Man.
I mean, that's actually something that I can impersonate. I mean, there was a time when it was like,
I know you do an excellent impersonation of that.
Now, what was the numbers? What were the numbers I just did? Three numbers.
5, 2, and I don't know.
8,
okay. Yeah, so, you know.
I'm sorry you couldn't hear that, David, but it's just a technical setup for this.
No, I know. When you reiterated it, I could visualize in my mind exactly how it sounded, and I believe you because I've heard that too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, I would ask this guy, you know, what do you...
And that's the CAPTCHA that I swear by. It's the only one that I can actually understand. And this is, all right, this is a true story, David. You know I've been away from my own computer for the last month.
Yes.
I got – and so at one point I was trying to log in at the library to phpbb.com. I briefly forgot my password.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually was able to remember it.
But you know that on phpbb.com, after like two or three login attempts, then it makes you enter a CAPTCHA.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how long it takes, you have to enter. It will not let you log in again ever until you've entered a CAPTCHA.
Right.
I tried over the past 2 weeks no fewer than 8 times to fill in the default CAPTCHA. And only this morning, on the 9th time, did I actually get it right.
Ouch.
And this is the default PHPBB CAPTCHA, the one in 3.0.5, the one that has been hacked by, that we talked about last February, was hacked successfully by hackers. And me, my eyesight is perfect. I'm the only one in my family that does not wear glasses. 9 times. In order for me to be able to get that CAPTCHA figured out, for me to be able to log into the account that I have had for the last 5 years.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I don't have any trouble really going in and reading that CAPTCHA, but I still fail, a couple of 3 times. And this is the reason why I think CAPTCHAs need to go the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
You know, because when you get to a point where you have to make it so complex and so difficult for humans to be able to read your CAPTCHA to defeat bots, which can almost read it better than humans can, mm-hmm. CAPTCHAs are no longer useful. So what do you have to do?
The only reason I give some amount of saving grace to reCAPTCHA, because their CAPTCHAs are somewhat readable. They have this great feature called refresh.
That's like, yes.
And they're actually using it to do something. I mean, it still sucks for the user, especially someone who has difficulty reading, but there's at least it's something that computers already aren't really able to read. It's already something that doesn't have fancy colors, and so we can somewhat read it, and it's doing something good. Digitizing books.
So reCAPTCHA is one of those CAPTCHA plugins where I have entered in a lot of these, and it definitely is one of the better ones in my opinion. I've only failed at it a number of times that you can definitely count on one hand. I don't think I've even failed it 5 times yet. And only out of once, all the times,
only once for me, and that's because if I see something I can't understand, I can refresh.
Yeah, I think maybe twice for me. I haven't ever used the refresh, so I've just typed in what it says, and I think maybe twice, maybe twice. So it is definitely a good CAPTCHA, but and I do like a couple of the CAPTCHAs that were submitted for the CAPTCHA contest, and them being not where it's words that are unreadable, but all of them are using a method in which requires a little bit of logic, you know, a little bit that's sort of the idea is for them to actually let me go ahead and pull them up, because do you have the fancy jQuery CAPTCHA, the rotate image CAPTCHA plugin, the simple math CAPTCHA plugin, and the sortables CAPTCHA plugin. None of those require you to be able to read a jumble
or squint to
or
see.
Squint, yes. Yeah.
All of them, I think that, and I was about to say that, I think, and even the crazy math CAPTCHA, all of them are logic-based. There's something that at least it's logically difficult for a computer to see, but logically easy for a human to be able to see.
Now, you know, things like the simple math CAPTCHA, that'd be easy for a bot to break. But fortunately, these are third-party CAPTCHA plugins, so the possibility of bots picking them up is small. It doesn't happen, you know, not to say that it won't happen, but it hasn't really happened in the past where bots have picked up CAPTCHA plugins or CAPTCHA mods.
Or just customized hacked CAPTCHAs that individual folks have done.
Yeah, but you can't believe that, you know, if either of these 4 gets extremely popular, you know, they will find a way to break that particular CAPTCHA. But what makes them great, what makes these great is, number one, the fact that it's not a jumble of letters. And number two, the fact that it's a mod and not something that's supplied default. Those give each of them a huge benefit.
It does seem to me it's just – this is the crazy thing about CAPTCHAs. We've gotten to the point where CAPTCHAs are so terrible that the only way to save us from them is to make more of them.
Yes. Yeah, that's bad. And one of the things that we do on Star Trek Guide, obviously I've talked about this before – is we have like a little caret system, and so it's very simple. You just check mark a single box. You don't have to read anything or try and figure anything out. You know, we mark a box that you should check, and you check that box. and that's it. So it's very simple, and it makes it effective because nobody else has that mod, you know. So that's really the key in being able to stop bots and being able to use a capture that is not this jumble of stuff supplied with PHP3.
So here's my thoughts in response to Daryl guy from blindaccessjournal.com. He makes very valid points.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's not much that can be done about it. But by default, especially certainly for the competition, too late.
Except for reCAPTCHA.
It's done in a few days. And I mean, reCAPTCHA is probably the best thing we got right now, and it's still not very good. Still require one of the cons of reCAPTCHA from the beginning is that you have to go out and register with the reCAPTCHA site and get it installed. But we don't want this to be the end of CAPTCHA plugin development. We want folks to keep on developing CAPTCHAs even without the incentive of birdies. And if you want a birdie, heck, I think maybe we can even, if for the sake of some better CAPTCHA plugins, yeah, if someone could do one that is actually has do something to help people who are blind and visually impaired and is relatively good, maybe they really want a birdie for it. Maybe we'll probably even find someone that is willing to pay give them a birdie just to develop a CAPTCHA like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we actually have an idea that will make it. I don't want to go into too many details about this, but on Starcha Guide, we are going to be doing something where it won't be just birdies that you will be able to win sort of by developing mods.
This
so
be great.
Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah.
It is some time away because, we obviously have issues where not all of our developers can work on Starcha Guide in their full time, but we are working on stuff actively. To develop an amazing system that I think everybody will really enjoy. And that will be one of those things where you can win stuff.
Hey, oh, boy.
A lot of stuff.
I think we'll be covering that pretty closely on the show.
Yeah. We're still a ways away from that. So obviously I'm not going to go into a lot of details. Once we get closer to it, we'll talk about it more.
Ooh, coming soon. There you go. So in the meantime, look forward to seeing how the competition works out. Whoever ends up winning the Community Choice Award will automatically be our mod of the week next week. I just spoiled it. Oh, well. Oh, there won't be any surprise element on the show next week. That stinks. Go vote. And as for visual-only CAPTCHAs, CAPTCHAs are still, unfortunately, a necessary evil, and hopefully we can do something about them soon. But we do want to move on to some other discussion topics once I find my show notes. There we go.
I do want to quickly point out that there are a couple of team member changes on PHPV.com.
Forgot about that.
First of all, I just realized that I have moderator permissions in one form.
On PHPV.com?
Yes, which I didn't realize I had.
Oh boy, which form?
It's a hidden form. You can't know.
Wow.
No, but actually, okay, so a couple of changes. First of all, Jim A is on the support team.
There you go.
That's good. Yes, and he's listening to the show now, actually, right now.
No wonder he mentioned that to us. That makes now 15 support team members.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
That's a lot.
Let's see.
They're now tied with the moderator team.
The moderator team has two extras now.
Aha. The race continues.
And one of them's name is Trip, who has
Yon.
A previous name, which isn't great for family view. Actually, as well, it's drugs, to be honest.
Oh, I see.
So I'm really glad he changed his username, but and he was a guy who helped support all of the mods that I released on phpv.com, so I'm really happy to see him get the moderator position there. Uh-huh. Also, Qua Happy. I have no idea who that is, but he's now on the moderator
from
team as well.
Rotherham, South Yorkshire, UK.
Yes, and of course, that bit extra moved from the Styles team to the mod team. Actually, that happened some time ago.
Yeah.
But we haven't announced it here yet.
There we go.
So now we have.
Poor Styles team. They need help. They need some more folks there.
They need to release some styles.
There you go. Or not, well,
validate them.
Validate them, yeah. They don't release them.
Yeah. Well, it is released once they validate them. Could look at it that way.
Where's Webster when you need him? Anything new with 3.0.6 worth noting? I mean, we're still waiting.
Well, of course, RC2 is out.
It was out 2 weeks ago when we talked about it.
It was out 2 weeks ago, yes. I think they're going to go for an RC3.
I was going to ask about this.
This isn't terribly unexpected, simply because
it's like it might as well be the 3.1 that never will be.
Exactly. 3.0.6 might as well have been 3.1. But this is what's really good about 3.0.6 is that everybody, when they download 3.0.6, they're going to get the fixtures, the features, most of the features that all of us wished were included within PHP3 release. They are now in 3.0.6, so that's a great thing. It is definitely, if you haven't updated, other than for security, you need to make sure you update for bug fixes, security reasons. But if you haven't updated, 3.0.6 will definitely make it worth your while, worth your time, or worth your, at least worth your money to hire somebody else to update your board.
I tell you, David, have you already updated to the RCs of 3.0.6? Because I'd be surprised if you didn't.
No, not on Starter Guide. I'm waiting for the R3.0.6 actual release because Starter Guide is such a large board right now that I don't want to have to go through several updates for it.
What happened to the days when you constantly kept it on, like, you know, bleeding edge CVS check-ins?
Well, that still happens on a couple of beta.starterguide.com is maintained on a constant CVS update. Or SVN update, I mean.
I don't know. So I was thinking the other night, I don't know why I was thinking about PHPBB when I'm trying to go to sleep, but I was this came up in my head the other night, is that although we say that, you know, release candidates, they're not necessarily stable, not necessarily meant to be used in a live environment, at the same time, they kind of are meant to be used in a live environment because the best kind of testing you can get is testing in a real-world situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does mean that if you're going to take the plunge and host a release candidate on your site, you should be prepared for possible unexpected things. But if you can, but if people did that more often, you probably would see fewer bug fixes being made in the next release. And that's always tends to be like, as you try to, you have a gazillion release candidates and betas like they had at 3.0.0 during for the PHP3 development. Finally, you release 3.0.0, and then all of a sudden, here come all the bugs. Mm-hmm. You try to get most of them during the RC phase, but really the best way you can find the bugs is to get people using it in a real world scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is, in that sense, for developer type people, I definitely encourage that. For the normal user, I don't encourage that.
Of course.
But keeping a site up to date on SVN, you know, it's a challenge unless you have a system. And at this point, we have a system where, you know, it just takes me 2 minutes and I update our site to the latest SVN. Not the Starter Guide main board, but another site. So it in that sense, if you have that system going in place, then it's not that difficult, and you can maintain it constantly. Except for one thing, the database updates are still an issue. You have to make sure that you are able to run those manually, because if you're constantly updating on the SVN, it's not going to run them for you.
Yes, of course. Don't do the SVN. Do the actual RCs if you want to do that. So.
Yeah, you can do the actual RCs, and I think they update from one to another.
Yeah, that's better.
I mean, and in fact,
SVN is for crazy people like David.
Yeah,
it's there the you truth. Go. It's the truth.
Yeah, it is absolutely.
All righty. RC3 possible, you say, but it seems to me that the dev team has not been having as many. Big check-ins than they have earlier,
and that's
I always keep an eye on the mailing list, and I weren't anything that really stuck out at me for so far the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the only really big thing that it was something released yesterday early morning. Well, for us anyways, And that is this commit by AcidBurn, which actually addresses the updates through RC. And he said this: since some people try to update to RC releases, but phppb.com tells them that the latest version is the version they currently run, we are faced with the updater thinking the database schema is up to date, which it is, but should be updated nonetheless.
It's just like phppb.com says the latest version is 3.0.5.
Right.
And they're trying to do 3.0.6 RC2.
Right.
Ah.
We now try to cope with this by triggering the update process. So you know, that's the most recent thing. And the fact that so few commits have come in, that could mean that RC3 is the last RC. Let's hope. Keep your fingers crossed. And I don't know for sure that an RC3 is coming. I have to assume that based on what I've seen and based on the past. So.
I look forward to it being released. I'm getting so used to talking about 3.0.6, I keep forgetting that 3.0.5 is the latest version.
Okay, well, Jim A. just confirmed there will be a RC3 release. So,
all right.
No longer a question there.
Oh, wonderful. This is what we're all about. You're on the PHPP Weekly. Well, let's get to sort of one of the things we wanted to talk about today, which was... that on the blog this week, the Igor, on behalf of the mod team, came out and posted a blog post about the validation workflow with screenshots, or screenshot anyway. I think it's kind of interesting because it's been a little while since it was kind of open or revealed how the validation process works, and that was kind of like during the PHPBB2 days. So some things have obviously changed since then, and I was surprised to see that they claim to have a trademark on the name InstaDeny. What is the deal with that?
You could put a trademark on real life too. Actually, it's sort of a joke. I think Paul coined it. Paul.
InstaDeny, David. I don't know. It's been there since long before Paul's time. Okay.
Yes, okay.
It's been there since like 2003. I can go into the archives.
But was the trademark on it back then?
I don't think it was trademarked, but
I think that was coined by Paul, the trademark on the InstaDeny.
Oh, maybe, but the name was coined by Nutsy 99. Remember him?
Yes.
I believe the dancing cows those days. Yes.
Yes, the dancing cows trademark.
That was not trademarked.
Yeah, but see, you put a trademark after anything interesting.
It was a service mark.
Okay, so the blog post does illustrate the mod validation workflow, tells you what the queue is. Obviously, the mod queue
trademark
is what... The mod queue is where mods go when they are submitted to the mod database.
Trademark.
Then you have the mod junior validators, or the junior mod validators as it is, go in and they'll test the mods. They'll run it through mod pre-validator. They actually have a workflow chart with David IQ posted, and then that's in the blog post if you want to see it.
Yeah, it's actually readable. It's not a complicated chart, so...
It isn't. It's not like, a political flow chart. Okay, so yeah, so it's very readable and understandable, and people can kind of see how mods are approved or denied. And, what process the mods go through to get to that approved or denied state. So it's definitely worth looking into if you are a mod author and you submit mods to PHPB3 and it goes through the mod validation queue. It does help to understand what each mod is going through to get to that. And why it's important to understand this is because, I get some mod authors who they expect to submit it to the mod database and have it approved within a week, And it's just not... It doesn't work that way because you go through code review, line by line code review. You go through testing, mm-hmm. You and then it goes over again. If there's a problem found and there's no repack, if it's too big for a repack, the mod is denied, and it goes through the process all over again. When the mod is resubmitted to the database, it goes through the automated pre-validation, and it goes through code review again. It goes through testing again. If any more problems are found, is it repacked? If not, it goes back to deny. If it is, then mod is tested.
And if there's no unlike the Apple App Store, these validators, they don't get paid. Okay.
Exactly.
They're not getting paid for this.
You know, but there is a nice thing, and that is the fact that the junior mod validators or the junior mod validators
trademark.
having them really does speed up the process. So you know, that's been great, and I think that the mod team has been a lot more efficient since adding the junior validators.
It's actually been interesting to read about that, because this is the first time kind of hear about the validation process since junior validators were implemented. While we kind of had an idea, it's nice to remembering when I was on the mod team, which is like, oh my gosh, almost 4 years ago now. We did kind of have this thing that said we want multiple people, or like at least two people, to look at a particular mod. But in reality, it didn't always happen, because mods would be in the queue, someone would go validate it and mark it as good or bad, and usually wait for a few days for someone else to say something about it. And if it sat there long enough and no one else ever looked at it, eventually, you know, go ask, one of the guys in charge and get permission to just go ahead and push it out as approved or denied.
And that doesn't happen anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, now with junior validators, the junior validators have a role of testing, but the full-fledged mod validators also have the role to actually do the line-by-line code validation. So this not only makes the job easier, but it now almost guarantees that you'll have multiple people looking at it, between the person who's going to run the automated pre-validation, which was just coming into being around the time that I showed up. They had just started using that.
You not only get to have several people looking at it, you get to have a bot look at it too.
Yeah, although technically, remember, you're supposed to do that before you submit. So if you are a responsible mod author and you do that first, then it shouldn't make a difference.
Yes, you're right.
But they still have that, and they have a junior validator and a regular validator, and so you're getting
you're getting at least two people looking at it, at least two.
And the workload is reduced for each of them.
Yes, it's the work does definitely spread out and makes it a little bit easier for everybody. And of course, it has a side effect of being beneficial to the entire community and the mod author by being released much quicker.
Yes.
Now, security updates, if there's a security update with a mod and you notate that it's a security update, they'll rush that through.
And that's also new. That did not exist when I was on the team very easily. Yeah.
You know, I cannot really remember, but maybe one or two mods that had that. You know, so that instance doesn't come up very often. Fortunately, that is a good thing, because that means that our validators are doing a good job when they validate mods looking for security issues. When we were there, we caught most everything. The security issues that were found were usually in the PHPBB2 mods. That was before the PHPBB2 mod database was shut down.
Yeah. So that's kind of nice. It's good to get a look at. I mean, I don't know what else that we have to say about it.
Hey,
it's been, but it's still going to take a while. I can't remember. Okay, I think it's since like early 2006, maybe a few times before since then. Well, there was that time when the new site came up in 07, and there was like a length of time when there was like no mod database active. So, boy, I'm sure the mod team had a nice vacation around then. I remember one time, like early 2006, we were able to actually empty the mod database, or mod queue, get all of them released or denied, and it was like empty for like half a day. And then for like a week, we were able to get them going quickly. And then all of a sudden, they all come in and resubmit at the same time, and so there we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to it's been like an average of around 2 to 3 weeks, is my understanding, for getting your mod, for when you submit your mod and getting it back out.
Yeah, which is a lot faster than it used to be. It used to be around 4 weeks or so.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Back when I was on the team before we had the junior validators.
Oh, you guys were slower than when I was on the team.
You know, it really did depend. It depended on the size of the mod. It depended on a lot of different things. It sped up over time.
I love remembering whenever a version of Categories Hierarchy was submitted.
Those were a nightmare.
That was like, hey, Eric, all yours.
And the funny thing is, I think many of those, they didn't even bother going through and validating. I remember seeing a lot of his mods, that particular mod author's mods, go through and just say, you know, this mod hasn't been validated, but we trust this mod.
Like 2003. So.
Yeah. And we installed, you know, when I had a PHPBB2 board, we did install those mods. And let me tell you, they were nightmares. They were not coded well.
Yeah.
They were huge. They were monstrosities. Yeah. And all other mods had to work with that instead of just PHPBB. Well, so PHPBB3 doesn't really have that sort of issue anymore because, of course, it contains all the major huge features that you need. And it's more OOP than PHPBB2 was, which means you can expand it better. That means if you want to put a blog on top of it, which really those categories hierarchy was kind of like sticking a blog on it.
Not quite.
So if you want to put a blog on PHPBB3 now, you don't have to modify so much within PHPBB to do that. So not all mods must be like blog compatible.
Mm-hmm. I saw, to change the subject only slightly, David, I saw a recent announcement on your site by Mike, M to the Eichel, who, on Star Trek Guide, asking for feedback about the STG mod manager.
Yes.
And so, what's up? And maybe for those of us who are people who are not as familiar with the Star Trek Guide mod manager, like, tell us a little about that.
Well, we do have a mod manager on Star Trek Guide. It's one of the few tools that allows mod authors to manage their mods and styles. And there's no validation process with the Star Trek Guide mod manager. So basically, we accept development mods, RC mods, beta mods, and fully released mods. And all you do is just submit it to it. And what it does is it's another database. You know, instead of having to go through the forums on phpv.com to find in development or beta mods or RC mods that are really kind of almost ready for release and mostly work, say if maybe a feature or two that the author wants to put in, or, you know, they want to go through the bug testing phase. And sometimes people want to jump the gun a little bit. So that mod database on Star Trek Guide does sort of allow people to do that. We still recommend that people don't install beta mods because they haven't been validated, which is really important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that possibility is there. Now, the tool on Star Trek Guide is obviously it's incomplete. It wasn't actually completed, and it's not perfect. And we are in the development stage of a completely new and improved system. It's completely rewritten. It's completely... it's completely standalone, and the way that it will work is so much better. All the features in it and everything are going to be so nice, and I think people are going to really enjoy it. If they have experience with either the App Store on Apple.com or the Mozilla extensions or plugins mm-hmm. site, you know, if you have any familiarity with those processes, Star Trek Guide will be along those lines. You know, the new mod manager will be along those lines as far as usability and features and everything that it will actually do. Now, the reason I'm not actually going into the individual features is because while we've planned a lot of features and we've developed a lot of features, we don't want to sort of put anybody inside of a box when they're offering us feedback. We want to get a lot of feedback from people on this right now.
Mm.
And
just as you're doing a completely new and improved system.
Mm-hmm.
We want
people to say, you know, this is what I want to see in a mod manager or a mod development, mod database or mod development manager, you know, this is what I'd want to see. This is kind of some kind of feature that I want to see. So that's the kind of feedback that we want to hear from people on this, on the new system that we're developing. But it's definitely something everybody will love, and it's definitely got something for everybody that PHPB currently does not have. So I'm not going to go into that right now. We'll talk about that when we get closer to release.
Trademark. I'm just going to keep doing that now, David. You have inspired me. All right. Unless there's anything else of excellent note to discuss, I mean, we can probably move on. We're going to try. We can try to make it a relatively short show. Relatively. Our PHPBB poll question, trademark, is coming back about time. And this week's question will be, if you were to add a step to the mod validation workflow, what would it be?
To take away a step?
I think that's going to be one of the options, David, but there'll be a couple more. Crazy ideas. There's a lot of things you could probably do to a mod validation workflow. So that question will be showing up. I'm sure it's going to be a hoot. And
we'll trademark.
Last hoot. That will end in 2 weeks on the 24th. So go and on our website, vote in that as soon as the show is released. All right, mod of the week. I partly picked this. Because I want to get your feedback a little bit on this, David.
Okay.
It's called Form SEO by Stalker Pillar, and this is actually released last night.
Long O.
Stalker Pillar. I thought I said that.
Yeah.
Now it's not specifically like in a general SEO. This is actually kind of a it does a particular thing which could, they say, this guy says can benefit your SEO. Mm-hmm. Specifically, it lets you use a differentiate between the form description that is listed on the index, mm-hmm, and the form description that is listed on the view forum page. Now, I didn't even actually know there was a forum description listed on the view forum page.
Yep, there is.
I don't see it.
I
see forum rules.
By default, okay, so by default, the forum description for a specific forum is not actually shown in ProSilver. It is shown, you know, that custom authors can enable it on their custom styles. So, but by default, when you're viewing view topic, the forum description is not shown, the forum title is. But description now, but it, you know, it's there. The code is there. It's actually displayed in the template, but hidden.
But it's the same as the form description on the index, which is usually shorter, so you don't have a huge, huge index. So apparently this lets you do the separate thing. And there's also a contrib folder, which lets you apply meta tags as well to improve search engine indexing. So this just came out last night, or yesterday evening or afternoon, depending on where you are. But what are your thoughts on this, David, since I know you're like an SEO expert around here?
Expert is very relative, and I used to be
relative
an SEO.
Relative to me, you are.
I used to be an SEO a lot more than I am now, and now I just barely keep up with it. A lot of – when people think of SEO, they think of the permalinks, but I don't think this is what that mod does. What it does, and I actually have an SEO mod. SEO means search engine optimization. And search engine optimization is any kind of change or thing that you can do on your site that increases the visibility of your site to search engine robots or search engines. You know, anything that you can do that either will increase its visibility, increase its its index accuracy, or its ranking. So any of those things. So in this case, they're using keywords and descriptions, which go into the meta tags. And of course, search engines don't use that they don't use that to rank the site anymore. They may still use it to display it in the search engine. You know, they may, like, if you search for a specific site, they may show the description, the meta description, but they don't actually use it to display anything or to increase or decrease its ranking or keywords. Although in generality, you should have keywords and descriptions that match the content of your site.
It helps. And certainly for a site, if you have a meta description, that then saves the spider from having to figure it out where on your site it is, which generally is not easy to find.
Yeah, one really nice thing about this is that it does – the mod is enabling the forum description on ViewForm, and that does – again, that's one of those things that does increase your visibility by putting text on the page that is going to be indexed and that will be relevant to the content of that particular forum. And anytime you can do that, anytime you can increase visibility, you have a better chance of being ranked for specific search terms that you want to be searched in for. So, so that does have its benefits.
Well, in that case, forum SEO, brand new mod, Stoker Pillar, and that's the mod of the week if you want to give it a try. Sounds interesting. And there are some people who are SEO crazy. Some people like me couldn't care less, but we'll see. I don't care less. I do think that Wikipedia has given it an unfair advantage.
They have become extremely visible, for sure. And whether it's an unfair advantage, I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like half the time you do I'm Feeling Lucky, you'll get I'm Feeling Wikipedia. They just change it from I'm Feeling Lucky to I'm Feeling Wiki.
I agree with that. I'm Feeling Wikipedia.
I'm Wiki with it. Oh, we've got more than a couple of ideas for the name of the show today. Our style of the week, oh my gosh, how am I going to say this, is Gerbang Kasi.
H could be silent.
Gerbang Kasi.
There it is.
I don't know. By Nappy 8 Gen. There's the link. You figure it out. It's kind of cool.
It is.
It is totally
based.
Obviously, but this is kind of interesting. It's sort of like a regal or splendor, like fancy party style. You've got flowers and the banner and the cloth things, and I don't know. The first thing I thought of this was like, someone's like outdoor wedding or something.
That's what it kind of reminded me of too. So we'll call it the outdoor wedding style.
Gerbang Kasi. Great, I have one gerbang of an outdoor wedding.
Very pro silver based. I think pretty much the only thing they changed here was colors and the overall header and overall footer.
But the colors are still kind of attractive. It's a nice use of gradient red and yellows. Very rich, and the sort of the sky background is a nice contrast.
Mm-hmm.
There's white space, so it's not cluttery, but it also is just very nice and sort of welcoming. And
before I get in trouble with the mod author, I should say that the colors and the image sets that come with the style do match the style, so it's not like pro silver blue compared to like this like red and orange and yellow theme.
Mm.
It all matches, so it actually looks, it looks nice.
Yeah.
They make pro silver match the theme, which is good. Mm-hmm. I like to see that. If you don't make a completely new theme, if you're basing it off of Subsilver 2 and pro silver, this is definitely one of the things you want to do, is make sure everything matches, and that's what they did. So
So overall, a nice sort of festive job, and I think it's kind of a nice style, and it's a relatively recent release as well. I don't remember. When did it come out? I don't remember. I didn't look. Came out October 5 days ago. So yeah, there you go. Jim A said it looks. He thinks it's like an outdoor wedding trademark. Yep. Oh, we'll never get over this. All righty. So that's it for our show today. Check out our website at phpbbweekly.net. Also, we are live every Saturday from now on, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC time. Join us live at phpbbweekly.net/live. And you said, David?
Well, actually, we're starting to use the Star Trek Guide Twitter account much more.
And PHPBB Weekly has a Twitter, too, if you didn't know that.
Yes. And in fact, if you are a PHPBB fan, you should be following both Star Trek Guide and PHPBB Weekly Twitter accounts on twitter.com. And, you know, we'll be giving updates on there of our, you know, we'll be posting things like interesting topics, like,
interesting topics.
So we're ending the show right now, so we're not going to go into this. But there is a really, really cool topic on Star Trek Guide, which you must see. And it is posted by Techie Michael, also known as Sneaky Simeon, in the security forum. That tells you what it is. And it's what do these vulnerabilities mean, part one, where Techie Michael goes into breaking down vulnerabilities for XSS. And we'll go through this next week. It's a whole new topic.
Oh, really, huh? Okay.
And this is, it's definitely worth watching the video for this. And I'll post a link in the chat room.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that in more extent next week. And everybody who's watched the video said, oh, yes, that's an excellent video. And if you are not, whether you are familiar with security or security vulnerabilities or not, which I am familiar with security vulnerabilities, but that video was ultra enlightening. So definitely worth a watch, especially if you're a mod author.
All right. Okay. I guess that's next week's show because I don't know anything anymore. I'm just the guy who invented the show. I don't mean anything. That's okay. That sounds like fun. All right. Next episode next week, number 125. October 17th is the day, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1700 UTC is the time. We will be, David, next week, we get to mark being an eighth of the way to 1,000 shows.
Okay. An eighth of the way. All right.
Do you think you'll be here for episode number 1,000, David? I probably won't be.
I don't know. Who knows, you know?
Version of PHPBB will be out by then? Maybe by then we'll be ready for the first release candidate of PHPBB4.
Maybe boards will start reading our minds for a change. The mind reading feature, and maybe we will have that wine USB spout.
About time. That'll be built into every computer we buy from then on.
The coffee mod.
The MacBook Pro Tino. All right, thanks for listening to this episode of PHPBB Weekly as we desperately try to keep it under an hour and 10 minutes. I'm Douglas Bell.
And I'm Eskimo. Actually, David Lewis, High Way of Life.
That's about time. Now we know who you really are. And remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag.
Tag.
You're it.
You're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.